job. That's their function. It makes I'm less subjective now. I used to have a real serious attitude. I couldn't stand a pig. Oh my goodness. I mean, and there's a way, you know, that when you get up to it, there's a way that you can look at a cop and that cop's gonna mess with you if you look at him right. You know, there's a way you can look at a cop, you know, and you can be guaranteed that the cop's gonna mess with you, do something with you, right? I used to hate pigs or such a few. I had such a subjective, gut-wrenching thing. Here are these suckers, you know, people are trying to enjoy themselves, and these suckers swaggering through the bars and the clubs with their guns and billy clubs, you know, intimidating people at all kinds of functions. They do that. And, you know, I had such a gut thing with them. And then finally, it came to me that it ain't even them as individuals, even though some of the individuals are worse than others. And, you know, we're going to have to take names because there are going to be trials after the revolution. but the reality is that I'm less inclined to have a subjective response to them today than I used to be, because they are instruments. They are instruments of state power, you know, and that's what they do. That's their function. That's what they're supposed to do. When the police killed somebody accidentally, it wasn't because they weren't trained well. It's because they were trained well. It's when we say that we need a police who do what they're supposed to do, that's the worst kind of cop, you know, who does what it's supposed to do. No, we don't. We want cops who sleep on the job. We want cops, you know, who spend time in donut shops, you know. It's them cops who do what they're supposed to do. That's the real problem that we have, you know, out here. Because what they're supposed to do is contain the African Revolution, the population of colonized and subject peoples, Uhuru. Africa Live.
Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live. Africa Live.
Africans at home. Uhuru, and welcome to Africa Live here on the WhoRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. First of all, on April 6th through the 9th, the African Socialist International will be holding a regional conference in the Bahamas in Nassau. We have on the line to talk with us about it, organizers of the African People's Socialist Party, Bahamas, Charo Walker and Alex Morley. Uhuru, comrades, and welcome.
Uhuru, comrades.
Uhuru.
And first of all, Sister Charo, can you tell us about this conference in Bahamas? What is this conference about that's happening on April 6th through 9th?
Well, the goal of the conference is to draw persons in the Bahamas, throughout the Bahamas, as well as throughout the Caribbean region and Latin America, into the party. Our goal is really to draw people into the party and build and consolidate the party in the Bahamas and throughout the region.
Whoa. And can you tell us about you were saying you want to draw people into the party? Can you tell us about the party, about the African Socialist International?
The African Socialist International is the organization that its goal is to unite African people throughout the world, wherever they may be, especially us, you know, in the diaspora. We've been played a role in the African liberation movement. And so, you know, this is an opportunity for us to continue that trend in the region, to work for African liberation. And so the ASI is an organization that allows us to do that. And it's also an opportunity for us in the region through the ASI to work toward the liberation and unification of Africa, which is our homeland as people of African descent throughout the Caribbean and Latin America. So that's why the ASI is important to us and why we felt we needed to have this ASI conference in the Bahamas.
Uhuru. And Alex, what can you say what people can expect at this conference that's going to be happening?
I think for all the people, for persons who see things going on in this region in regards to what's happening in the imperial involvement in Haiti, what's going on, the struggle in Haiti, what's going on with our people in the struggle in Venezuela, what's going on with the U.S. and the U.S. embargo against Cuba, and all the stuff, the things, issues that are going on straight through the Caribbean with African people, if people want an answer or want some kind of philosophy that would give them an understanding of where it is that all of these problems and issues, how is it that this it gives them something to explain it at least. And give some direction what it is that we need to do to help us to deal with these issues. I think that this conference is the place for who are seeking those answers, and it's also geared toward the community, the African community right here in the Bahamas. I mean, we have situations where African youths are facing being locked up by the police, criminalization of our youths. We have situations where African people face joblessness, situation where Africans from Haiti who live in the Bahamas, they are denied citizenship. We have situations where Africans face joblessness. We ain't got jobs that that we feel that are good jobs. So we have a lot of issues just dealing that the African people themselves are dealing with in this country, and they're looking for the answers too. How is it that we are going to explain the situation that we are in, and how is it what is it that we need to do? So I think the conference is good for persons outside of the Bahamas, and it's good for persons inside the Bahamas who are seeking to the answers that we face as African people.
Can you say a little more about those conditions that Africans in Bahamas face? I know I had the opportunity to come down there for a conference that happened on last year. And just saw, you know, the conditions that Africans were faced with, and you know, that's not unsimilar to what Africans are faced with in other places around the world. But can you, for those who've never been to the Bahamas, never seen, you know, what Africans are dealing with there, explain the conditions that that are imposed on our people?
I think. If you could remember last year, Bingo, when you and the chairman were here, there was a point where we were walking downtown Nassau, and this African youth was African youth were being dragged along the street in shackles, in chains, and that happens in our city center, you know, because all of the courts. Last year were based downtown, so if you were charged with a criminal offense, they would have you downtown in front of tourists, in front of the whole nation, just shackled up, you know. And but this year they've moved the courts down, they've put them a different place. But the point is, there's this unbelievable antagonistic relationship between the police force and the African youths in this country. And within that system, there's this most youths feel as if the government is intent on spending monies to detain them, and every one of the political parties talks tough on crime. At the end of last year, a new law was passed in the Bahamas where If someone is caught with a possession of an unlicensed, if you found guilty of possession of unlicensed firearm, you could do 4 to 7 years. All of these penalties would have been increased if you're caught with drugs, charged with possession of unlicensed drugs with intent to supply, and that could be somebody who was caught with one or two or three packages. Because the term intent to supply very much depends on what the police thinks is intent to supply. The penalties for that have increased. You could get 4 to 7 years from being caught with maybe two or three something, and the police could determine that was intent to supply. And the minimum that you would get is 4 years, you know. So there's been this increased pro tough on crime kind of stance. And that has even led more to the criminalization of young people, because all of this affects young African youths. And then the unemployment is very high. Youth unemployment is some 30%. Young people, schools, and when they graduate from these from our high schools, there are no jobs. You know, they fill up our heads with all these Eurocentric kind of education. And they feed us all kind of dreams that, you know, that we can be whatever we want. But when we graduate from school, we realize that the only jobs that they have for us is to work in a hotel. And if you work in a hotel, it would be at the lower lower end of the hotel, you know. So you could only be the waitress or the bartender. You can't be the manager of the hotel, you know. Not to say that there's anything bad about being at the lower end. It is just to say that the in terms of development of the Africans on this rock, it's very retarded.
You're listening to Africa Live here on TheHooRadio.com. I'm talking with African People's Socialist Party Bahamas organizers Chara Walker and Alex Morley about the upcoming regional conference of the African Socialist International that's going to be happening there in Nassau, Bahamas on April 6th through 9th. I understand also... Brother Alex, that you are, even in the midst of building for this conference, that you're also engaged in an electoral contest there for representative of one of the communities there in Nassau. Can you talk about that campaign?
Yes, at the moment I'm putting myself across as the independent candidate for the Angliston community. Angliston is a community. It's called a constituency, actually, that's located in on New Providence, in the center of New Providence. Has about 11,000 persons in the community. It's a African working class community made up of Africans who would, I guess you would call them native Bahamians, and Africans from Haiti and Africans from Jamaica. But those would be most of the Africans. They would make up the majority of the community. And it's a working class community, man. And I've put myself across as the I'm asking persons in that community to support me to as their next member of parliament for the Angliston constituency. The issues that I spoke about before those same issues actually are happening on being experienced by African people on the ground in Angliston. In Angliston, it's a community where there are a lot of Africans from Haiti in that community or of Haitian descent. And most of those persons live in the community without any legal status or without any citizenship rights. So there's a relationship between them and the Department of Immigration. They can be deported, detained, and deported at any time. There are employers in this country who are intent on exploiting this labor force as well. Because, you know, these persons come to the Bahamas thinking that they're going to find, work, meaningful work. So there are a class of businessmen, construction workers, farm persons who own farms and stuff like that, who are intent on exploiting that labor force. And there's the criminalization of young people in the Angliston community. There's a relationship with the police that's not a good relationship. There aren't any institutions in the community, and the living conditions in the community. There are houses that there's work to be done in terms of the housing in the community. There's work to be done, you know. There are a lot of clapboard houses. There are public water pumps. A lot of persons still have to, they don't have plumbing, internal plumbing. So they have to use public water pumps. There's just a lot of unbelievable contradictions. Because all of these workers that I'm speaking about are workers that go to other communities, and workers, they would put their labor into building up the hotel, or making sure a hotel is run efficiently, or making sure a gated community is run efficiently. But they would come home to these same to a community very much like Angliston that has not proper housing, that doesn't have public, that doesn't have internal plumbing, that doesn't have a library, that doesn't have all of the stuff that they would help to build up in other places.
And Sister Charo, one of the things I noted last time there was at the conference. One of the things that was spoken about was this question of land and the taking of land that belonged to families, you know, to African families there. Can you speak to this land issue?
Yeah, the land issue is a big issue in the Bahamas. I think the major contradiction is that most persons, Africans from the Bahamas, don't have land, and probably will never have land. But on the flip side of that, there are outsiders, particularly Europeans and also wealthier Bahamas, and are able to buy up most of the land in the Bahamas, and that significantly raises also the price of land, where it's out of reach from most people. So I would say also, like you mentioned, the theft of land. There's a situation where the ruling class in the Bahamas as well, they participate in a lot of the stealing of the land, and they gobble up a lot of the land. And so, like I said again, you know, Africans will never be able to afford, you know, persons like myself, like Alex and the working class people that he mentioned in Anglestone, will probably never be able to purchase a piece of land so that they can have proper shelter and resolve a lot of the housing insecurity that they face. And we talk about land as well. Right now we're finding out that there are oil resources in the Bahamas. And there's an issue with that too, because, you know, if we cannot own this land, you know, it's, again, the ruling class is going to, they're going to dominate this, these resources and use it for their benefit. But I think the most glaring example is the ease with which, like I said, celebrities throughout the world can gobble up, you know, entire islands in the Bahamas. When, you know, like Alex said, there are people in the Anglestone community or constituency who don't even have proper shelter or plumbing within their homes.
And I remember even while there, I think is it Paradise Island, where it's just a place for white people to come and enjoy themselves that Africans aren't even supposed to be there unless they're working.
Exactly. Yep, Paradise Island. I think that's the most glaring example of what we're talking about. It's like the development on Paradise Island is unbelievable. When you look at the rest of the Bahamas. I mean, this is, you know, well-manicured lawns, bridges going to and from the island, you know, roads that are perfect, but, you know, and people over there live a fabulous life. But just, you know, 5 minutes away, there's so many issues that Alex spoke about a while ago that the people of the Bahamas are faced with. And Paradise Island is, like you said, it's the playground for white people, rich white people throughout the world to go and have a good time. And talking about Paradise Island, you know, there are two bridges running from Paradise Island and Nassau, Bahamas, that gives these wealthy people easy access to and from Paradise Island and Nassau, which Nassau is like the seat of government in the Bahamas. But when it's but there's no opportunity or ease of movement for the Africans in the Bahamas. There are no bridges because there are about 30 plus islands, inhabited islands in the Bahamas. But there are no bridges connecting these Africans with each other. But there are bridges, you know, that facilitate the movement of these wealthy people who come from all over the world. And these are just some of the contradictions that we face here in the Bahamas.
You're listening to Africa Live here on AhuaRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we're talking with African People's Socialist Party Bahamas organizers Alex Morley and Chara Walker about the upcoming conference, regional conference, that's going to be happening in Nassau, Bahamas on April 6th through 9th. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to have more discussion on the upcoming conference, as well as some other things that have been happening there in Bahamas, including the recent visit of colonial British prince. They call him Prince Harry. I don't know that guy like that, the one that just called him Prince Harry. So, but we're going to talk about his visit. And but in the meantime, take a listen to Peter Tosh's African. No matter where you come from, as long as you're a black man or woman, you're an African. Welcome back to Africa Live. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe. You were just listening to Peter Tosh's African. Now we're going to go back into the discussion with comrades Charo Walker and Alex Morley, African People's Socialist Party Bahamas organizers, who are talking with us about the upcoming regional conference that's going to be happening in the Bahamas on April 6th through 9th. Now, Comrade Alex, one of the things that that I think makes this conference as a regional conference so significant is this question of identity of Africans. One thing we see around the world is this issue where Africans view ourselves as nations, you know, like the Nigerian nation or African Americans, part of some American nation, or, you know, all these all kind of other identities that we have. Can you speak to the question of national identity in Bahamas and in that region, and how we are impacting on that?
I think for the Bahamas and this region, that the question of national identity, or even the question, the question of the African identity, is the is almost like the missing issue, you know, the missing element in this whole thing. In the Bahamas, the situation at the moment is that the system has the Africans fighting against each other, or it has the Africans believing that each other is the problem. For example, you would find a lot of Bahamians, African Bahamians, who would say that the Haitian is the problem for the fact that we don't have any jobs, or the Haitian is the problem, the Haitian is taking the resources out of our country, or the Haitian is doing this, or the Haitian is doing that. But in reality, all of the things that I spoke about earlier, comrade, the Africans being oppressed by the police, Africans being exploited on their jobs, the joblessness, the lack of citizenship rights, all of these things are experienced by all of the Africans indiscriminately, whether they are Africans who say that they are from here, or Africans who are from Jamaica, or Africans who say that they are from who are from Haiti. So it's really getting persons to understand that that we are part of one African nation, and that's not something that is that you don't get a positive response from people. When you speak, when you say that, man, we are part of one African nation, you know, the only difference between you and the other Africans is that you were dropped off here and the other was dropped off there. Mm-hmm. That's something that persons are, you get a response from people, a positive response from people, but it's just something that is not said. You don't hear that kind of philosophy, that kind of talk down here in the Bahamas. And I think that the conference itself is going to play, the ASI conference is taking place April 6th and 9th, is going to play a powerful role in intervening on the question of the African identity, African that we are part of the African nation, and it is there that we must get our power from, because I think we've already realized that there is no power in an African saying that he's a Bahamian. There's mm-hmm. no power in an African saying that he's a Jamaican. There's no power in an African saying that he's from that he's a Bayesian. But our real power can only be that when we are united as one African nation, and when we move as a united nation. And I think that this conference is important so that African people can see that kind of can hear and see that kind of African philosophy, consciousness being spoken.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's really important, you know, and like I say, it's not something that's just germane to Bahamas, you know. It's something that we're impacted by, you know, all over the world, even in Africa itself. You know, you have Africans who consider themselves, you know, part of one colonially defined, you know, territory or another, you know, which really, you know, when you go by these definitions, you are just defining yourself, as Chairman Amalia Chitella, you know, tells us, you're just defining yourself as, you know, the slave of this particular, you know, colonial power or that particular colonial power, you know, and that, you know, the real strength for us is in uniting the African nation. Because, I mean, what's the population of Bahamas?
It's about 350,000. And out of that 350,000, 85% are persons of African descent. And the other 15% would be Europeans and a small percentage of Chinese. Mm. But mostly Europeans.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I mean, that's, how could one consider that amount of people to be a nation, you know? How could one consider, you know, a million or so Africans who might be in one territory or another, you know, to be a nation? How can you have a functional economy, you know, or anything else, you know, with such a small population? And then on top of that, you have these relationships with colonial powers. For instance, I saw the statement that that is appearing on the Uhuru News now about the recent visit of Britain's prince. I guess they call him Harry. it bugged me out because I reading in the statement, it was saying that the Queen of England is considered the head of state in Bahamas. That bugged me out. I didn't even know that. How is this, you know?
I think the visit of Prince Harry, it really exposed the ruling class for who they are over here and their loyalty to a queen as opposed to the actual people of this country. The thing that's really disturbing is that right now, if you go into downtown Nassau, right where the seat of government is, where the Senate is, where the House of Assembly is, they have a huge display dedicated to the Queen. Pictures and everything showing her relationship with the ruling class in the Bahamas over the years. And everyone who's driving, and it's a lot of people who drive through the streets past this area on a daily basis, they see this big display, and there's a banner that says "Celebrating the Queen." And you know, what are we celebrating? Mm. When the Queen ascended, quote unquote, ascended the throne, the conditions of Africans in the Bahamas were far worse than it is today. You know, Alex talked about the conditions of African people in Anglestone. Well, most of the Africans on this this rock, we call it, lived like that. You know, when the Queen ascended the throne, there was no public schools for Africans. There was no formal secondary education. We couldn't even vote. But yet, the ruling class, you know, fast forward 60 years later, they want to celebrate her reign or domination over our country and our people. So, yeah, I mean, we can't, the ruling class over here can't even make the connection that she represents slavery, the enslavement of our people, the rape, the exploitation. And also, I think what we didn't mention in the statement was that a few weeks ago, the Haitian president came to the Bahamas, and the response that he got was entirely different. People took issue with comments that he made, and you know, beyond the comments, it seems as though they even had issue with the fact that he was just here. But you know, Haiti represents for African people throughout the world a beacon of light. They you know, were on the vanguard for our liberation, our freedom. But the response that this Haitian president received here versus the Queen, our oppressor, was, you know, entirely different. Or I should say Prince Harry, who represented the Queen. You know, it was just entirely different. And so, again, this is why this conference is so important. Mm-hmm. Because it is necessary for us to intervene at this time in the Bahamas. And, you know, just make people realize that, you know, it is we are African people, and that there's a certain a line that we should take as it pertains to African people, and how we should respond to the visit of Prince Harry as representative of the Queen. You know, so again, you know, this is why this conference is so needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, it seems to me that Africans should have a problem with Prince Harry bringing his behind there. You know, they should have a problem with the Queen coming there. You know, and because what they represent is colonialism. It's colonialism. And even this continued relationship where the Queen would be considered the head of state of Bahamas, how can you say that colonialism is over?
Exactly. You know?
I mean, that's not even neo-colonialism proper. Yeah. One other thing that what you were just saying brings to the front, though, is also this question of the class question, you know, because just as Africans should have a problem with the Queen coming, I think it's proper for them to have a problem with the Haitian president coming, because the Haitian president ain't nothing but a puppet for imperialism, you know. But that shouldn't be something that's based on the fact that he's representing Haiti. It should be based on the fact that he's representing U.S. and French imperialism, you know, at the expense of Haiti, at the expense of Africans in Haiti and Africans in Bahamas. You know, I think that's an important question that that this conference is going to have to deal with as well. Just helping Africans to understand the class question, because there's a way that we can look at this question of African identity. And just see, you know, all Africans, you know, just take some Pan-Africanist view and say, well, all Africans ought to be together. But it's not quite like that. There are some who work against our interests, you know, African petty bourgeoisie who are in power all around the world representing, you know, imperialism. In fact, even in the U.S. now, you've got a Negro president, you know, neocolonialism to the highest extent. You know, but it does not serve us, and I think that's one of the things that we have to be really looking at as well.
Uhuru, comrade, and I think this conference will play a powerful part in intervening and on that very issue, because the Bahamas is definitely a neo-colonial experience. That's what's going on. Right now, all of our leaders, all of our bureaucrats, all of our labor unions, all of these persons would be persons, black people, African people. So people see that, you know, and these are the same. These African people are also African people who are able to manipulate the fact that they are African and that they say that they are working in the interests of our people. But when the fact is that they are working against our people. But I think that this conference is going to give the persons who attend a way that they can better understand how it is that they are to see persons like that, persons who of African descent, and whether or not they are working in the interests of African people or not. And I think this conference will definitely help us to better understand what it is that we need to do and how should we approach persons like that, and just what we need to do.
Uh-huh. Yep. Now, one thing I want to make sure we get out for people who might be listening is how can people find out more information about the conference? How can people get on board to attend the conference?
Well, there are a number of websites that have information about the conference. The first is asiuhuru.org. You can find information there. Also, of course, uhurunews.com, and then also blackfood.org. So those three websites has information about the conference. And then if you're on Facebook, there's a Facebook page event page. I think it's entitled Uniting the African World, Joining the Revolutionary Party for Liberation. There are regular updates there about the conference. And there's also an email address, info@blackfood.org, where people can send questions if they need to find out about hotels in the Bahamas if they're coming from abroad, or if they need to get, the proper travel documents, or any type of question or concern that they may have. They can send it to that email address, info@blackfood.org.
Right on. I want to, we're coming close to the end of the program. We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to get closing statements from the both of you on this upcoming conference in Bahamas and what people should be doing in terms of gearing up to get there. So we're going to play Roy Ayers, Red, Black, and Green. Welcome back to Africa Live here on TheHooRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we've been talking up to now with organizers of the African People's Socialist Party Bahamas, comrades Alex Morley and Charo Walker. And we've been talking about the upcoming regional conference of the African Socialist International that's going to be happening in Nassau, Bahamas on April 6th through 9th. We just got a few minutes left, and I just want to give the opportunity to these two comrades to make some closing statements to our audience here. So, Sister Charo, if you can start it off for us.
Yeah, Uhuru. I would say to your listeners, when you hear the Bahamas, immediately people, because of our tourism industry and all the money that they pump into propaganda, people think of a paradise and sun, sand, and sea, and it's just perfect here. And while we do have a beautiful country, there are many issues that people face here in the Bahamas, like throughout the rest of the Caribbean. For a long time, the Bahamas has not been considered a place of resistance, of struggle, of revolution. But, we in the Bahamas, we were a part of Marcus Garvey's UNIA. And in 2012, we want to continue this history of struggle. And, we want to, like I said, continue the history of struggle. And we also want to connect with our sisters and brothers also throughout the region, which is why we chose this regional conference. And we want everyone in the region who's listening to really come out to this conference so that we can push forward in 2012.
Uhuru. Right on. Brother Alex.
I think Comrade Charo hit, basically, she did so well. She said everything that we needed to say. But I just want to urge persons to attend. This conference is going to be a powerful conference, I believe. I think it's going to help us as the Africans here in the Bahamas to better understand our present condition, and also to better understand what it is that we need to do in terms of taking the revolutionary road to unite with the African world and to liberate Africa and our people. I don't think that there's any other better answer out there than the answers that would be put forward at this African Socialist International Conference. I just urge persons to attend and participate, and I think it's going to be powerful. And I just come down to the Bahamas, man. Just come down to the Bahamas, and Uhuru.
Uhuru. Well, I just want to thank the both of y'all for coming on and talking with us about this really important regional conference that's going to be happening there in the Bahamas. Just want to add to, I just want to, second or third, this call for people to come and participate in that conference. It's going to be really significant conference. I think everybody who is in the Americas who can get there need to get there, and participate in this process. This is Africans, taking our own future in our own hands, and so we have to take this opportunity. Peoples around the world otherwise are really engaged in struggle for control of their own lives, and this is the process by which Africans are doing the same, let's get to that conference in Nassau, Bahamas, April 6th through 9th. Let's join the African Socialist International and unite and liberate our Africa. So again, thank you, comrades, so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank Uhuru. You for having us, Bingo. Uhuru.
Uhuru. So what we're going to do now is we're going to play some more music for you. This is Steel Pulse with Worth His Weight in Gold. Rally Round.
Rally!
We'll be right back.